Welcome to another edition of Teaching Restored. We get to teach about how to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of our favorite things. I'm Kevin Jones.
And I'm Julie Hilliard. And I am going to take us on a little bit of a repeat because okay. I want to reiterate a skill that we have discussed in the past, and I want to do it in a slightly different way because I feel like it is probably the number one mistake that I see made, that I feel myself wanting to make, that I think really is a struggle for most people when it comes to teaching. And so what I want to start with is a question, Kevin. What do you think is the primary reason for the shift in the way that we're being taught to teach from kind of a more instructional model to more of a facilitated discussion? What do you think is the primary motivator behind that?
Thinking back to past episodes, because I think those are a gateway to a more effective gateway to conversion than
Then what? Then just
what we've been doing in the past, just the rote, the sage on the stage saying how much we know and you should learn this too.
Right. So you think that it is a more effective means to conversion, like it's Correct. Going to be more effective now, but why? Like how?
Why? How?
Is that more effective than somebody saying something really magical that touches your heart?
I think it has, for me, it has to do with an experience. So if when we are involved in experiences, it gets to us into our hearts more than if we just sit back and watch and listen. So I think that having an experience and being part of that experience, I mean, watching a good football or basketball game is a good experience. Right. Being a part of that and being part of the team, and you know, that it takes it to a whole nother level. And I think it's the same way with teaching as well.
Right. Okay. So being involved in the process. So I almost, when you were saying that, I almost heard you saying that in a way, what we're doing is we're creating an experience together. And if it is a discussion, then you are part of the creation of that experience.
Agreed.
Right? Okay, I love that. Just by way of example, there's this Bible study group that I go to and I love it. Like it's so fun with a bunch of women of a different faith. And they are some of the best women that I've ever met. Like they're exemplary and their hearts are so in the right place. It's just been really uplifting to me and really inspiring. It was interesting though, because I'm very accustomed now to this kind of facilitated type of discussion. And when I started going to this Bible study group, we were studying the book of Genesis, and there was a woman that they would show a video of for the first like 40 minutes. And we would listen to this woman talk, and she was talking to an audience, but there was zero interaction. It was only the woman talking. Sure. And it was interesting because as she would talk, sometimes I'd be like, that didn't sound right to me. That didn't feel right to me. That kind of made me like that was a little off-putting, or go ahead.
But you couldn't say it. You couldn't say anything about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And I was sitting there and I was thinking, I know this woman's like really educated and I'm sure that she spent tons of time in preparation, but everything that came out of her mouth was left to my interpretation and I could write a story about it. And therefore, I'll be honest, by the end of this, I didn't really like her very well. Like, I don't even know her. I've never met her. And I loved, what I loved though, was that when that was done, they would have a table leader that would facilitate a discussion amongst all of us. And there was nothing like super profound that came out of that. There was no, nugget of historical wisdom that was dropped on all of us, this masterful insight. But I felt something for these women. as we would sit and have this dialogue about what we had just, I mean, she was this woman that I don't like very well, was the springboard for this discussion. So sure. Maybe she's
good.
The point that I'm making is that I felt zero connection to her. And I feel profoundly connected to this group of women.
Gotcha.
So one of the things that I feel is an intention behind this style is that we're intended to better connect with each other. So why do you think that would even be important in our desire, like our collective desire to be disciples of Jesus Christ? What role does connection play in that?
So this is something I'm learning better about, and I don't have great answers for all of this connecting and loving. And yeah, not you really, but like yes, at the same time.
You say it like it's like off-putting.
No, it's not. Yeah. It's just that I need to be better at this. And I this is a weakness of mine, kind of like empathy, right? When you have empathy, you can connect better. And that is one skill that I lack, as you and I both have practiced and have learned from past episodes. If you watch one particular past episode, you know how bad it was. But at the same time, so when we connect, I'm just going to kind of describe how I feel. When we connect, it's like, oh, you're helping me, I'm helping you. I think we can get so much more out of it. When I used to go to a lot of industry conferences, and we would go to classes, you know, the conference breakout sessions all the time, right? One after the other, and they were good, but the best I had ever was in between them, or when we'd skip them, and a small group of us would get together. And we would talk. Those would be much more valuable than what I learned from some conference breakout session. And I love those because it's like learning on steroids in a way, because you're presenting one thing and then I present something else and present, and we all build and then we iterate and build off each other. And we collectively create something that is a lot better than just one person saying something.
You're describing synergy.
Oh, something like that. Yeah.
So you're saying that what can happen is that we can collectively rise, like that all ships rise, basically, when you have an experience like that with other people. Why can't you have those experiences in isolation? Why can't you have an experience like that with just you and the spirit? Like, what's the difference between that? I mean, you obviously need both, but like, why?
Because I'm stuck in my thoughts. I'm stuck in the way I see things, my paradigm, the way I see things, and it's hard to be knocked out of that. Yeah. Or I find a lot of times that when I'm trying to build, for example, when I'm trying to build a business, if I just listen to that industry's collective wisdom, that takes me only so far. But if I listen to things that are completely unrelated, I'll realize, there's a connection there. And oh, I could use that in here that no one's ever thought of before, or I've never thought of using that completely unrelated thing in my thing now. And so it's like getting ideas that are third level and bringing it in. And so on a tactical level, that's what I'm thinking.
Right. Well, and I love what you're thinking. I think that part of what you're trying to describe is that we aren't necessarily going to hold ourselves accountable for expanding our thinking, but really having a bunch of people's different perspectives really helps us to broaden our mind.
Right.
And I think that one of the flaws of organized religion in general is that you can get into like this preaching to the choir, like-minded thinking and not ever... Yeah, the echo chamber. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. You can turn you know, it into an echo chamber. And as I was reading a little bit in Joseph Smith history about one of his concerns, you know, you think about it, he was going to all of these different churches and everybody was like, yes, oh, welcome, welcome, we love you. And as long as you're hanging out in the echo chamber and echoing back, mm-hmm. we're your best friend. Mm-hmm. But part of what Joseph Smith noticed is that when somebody stepped outside of the echo chamber, or when they started to push back, or when they started to think differently, that right. all of a sudden it got like right. spicy and mean and yucky. And I think that we sometimes actually even do that a little bit in the church.
We do.
That we get a little spicy and mean and yucky when somebody isn't echoing back what we think they should. Right. say or whatever. So as I think a little bit about like what the purpose of marriage is, that we cannot be exalted without our spouse, and whether that's here on the earth or, you know, at another point in eternity, that relationship, I think in part is necessary because it tests you so much, because it mm-hmm. stretches you. Mm-hmm. I think that I was single for a really long time and it was so easy. And then when I got married, I'm like, well, wait a minute. Like, I have to like adapt and consider your opinions. And like, I mean, there really is something that shapes our souls about interdependent relationships. And what we are striving for in our ward families, we call them families for a reason, in our family unit is interdependent relationships, not codependent, not independent, but interdependent relationships. And so as I've been thinking about this a little bit, I'm like, how do we create an environment that fuels that connection rather than breaking it down?
Okay.
Okay.
I like this.
So, do you have any thoughts based on what I've said so far? Like that, I just kind of described a lot.
Nope, go for it. I want to hear.
Okay, awesome. So I want to really quickly read this scripture in Psalm. It's just Psalm 7, or not Psalm, Proverbs. Hold on, it's Proverbs 17:17. So scriptures, here we go. And I like this because, oh my goodness, come back here, 17:17. So a friend, this is what it says. It says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. So let me tell you the reason that I'm bringing this up. Okay. I'm interpreting this to mean, and this might be, you know, I don't know, this might be extrapolating just a little bit from it, but I think that brotherhood and sisterhood, if you click on brother, it says brotherhood and sisterhood, is formed when you have a shared experience, when you have connection with each other. The idea that, you know, church is intended to be a hospital, you know, for sinners versus, you know, whatever, a sanctuary for saints, like not a sanctuary, but, you know, whatever. Yep, we're supposed to come together to heal, I think is really, really relevant. It's a really important part of our growth and development to actually share in each other's burdens. Oh, wait, baptismal covenant, right? That we're supposed to share, bear one another's burdens and strengthen each other. And the thing that is so difficult about that is that we cannot do that if we don't know what each other's burdens are and if we aren't creating connections with each other. And so this idea that in our, and I'm thinking specifically in a classroom, like a Sunday school, young women's, young men's, elders quorum, in that type of a setting, the way that we interact and encourage interaction ought to be with the idea of connection and conversion at its core. And so like, as we're thinking about how we set up our classroom, we're trying to set it up in a way that is creating more opportunities for connection. So I want to talk about two things. First of all, how can we create opportunities for other people to connect with each other? And we've talked about small group breakout sessions and some of the flaws with those, right? So file this in the back of your mind. How can we create opportunities for other people to feel more connected to each other? And then how can we, what are some skills that we need to be thinking about when we create connections with other people? And so I want you to think about in your teaching, when somebody makes a comment, what is your instinct when they finished their comment?
So my natural instinct is to say, great, thank you, and move on, right?
Right, right.
That's pretty typical.
Most people. Right. Right. And I cannot tell you the number of times that I have heard great thank you. And right. We've actually talked about this on a previous podcast, right? Mm-hmm. And so what I want to reiterate, and like I said, this is a little bit of a reiteration, has to do with how to respond when somebody makes a comment. And then remember, because you are a facilitator, this is that second part, or that first part that I was talking about, how you can also actually, instead of you being the bridge, you can actually pass the baton to someone else to make a comment and build on what they've said. But you can set a ground rule for yourself and for them that can help create a more connected opportunity. And that has to do with an acknowledgement of what the person has already said. So when you think about it, so they feel understood. When we've taught the skill of empathy in this setting before, we've taught it with the idea of repeating back what the person has said, right? Mm-hmm. And we've talked about how sometimes that can feel a little bit robotic and how it can start to feel condescending even at times if, you know, you're always like, you said da 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 da. Right. It can actually feel a little bit off-putting. But if we can train ourselves, like your instinct is to say, thank you so much for that comment and then kind of move on, right? Mm-hmm. If we could train ourselves to say what we naturally want to say, which is thank you so much for, and then not just saying that comment, but specifically restating something that they have said back to them. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. So something like, thank you so much for pointing out that.
Okay, so let's practice it. Let's try it for just a second, okay? Ask me a question. Just think of a question that anything, and I might give a really bad answer or I might give a great answer because everything that can go wrong usually goes wrong during the discussion. When you're scripted, that's not when you're making mistakes. Yeah, you're making mistakes when things are totally off script.
Right.
Okay. So let's try it. Ask me any question. I might give you good, might give you bad.
Okay. Here's a question from the last episode. Julie, when was the last time you felt the spirit? Julie, yes.
Oh, you just said my name. I'm so sorry. I'm so excited you called on me. So, it's interesting. I actually, you're asking when the last time was that I felt the spirit, and I have been struggling to feel the spirit in my life. And I feel a little bit like when I feel the spirit, I'm questioning myself and whether or not it actually is the spirit. Okay. So really quickly, sidebar. Some of what I said was relevant. Some of what I said was not relevant. If it's irrelevant, your temptation is to what?
Ignore it.
Mm-hmm. Say, awesome, move on, okay. Right?
Oh, I see what you mean. Yes, yes, yes. If the comment is irrelevant, you go, oh, that's nice. And you move
on. Okay. Disconnect. Even a person who makes an irrelevant comment, you need to make a connection with.
Okay.
So what you choose to respond with can help, like, is the part that's relevant. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so how would you respond in a way that includes your natural reaction and a connecting skill?
The natural reaction or the reaction that I'm learning?
Yeah, so it can include both. What I'm trying to do is instead of you just doing the robotic repeat back what I just said.
Gotcha. Yep.
I want Kevin to pull on my natural reaction is to, and I'm going to add to it what?
Okay. So something along the lines of, thank you, Julie. That was for me, a great reminder that sometimes we have a hard time feeling the spirit. It's not as easy as we would always think it is it?
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. Okay. Because what you did is you didn't just brush past my comment. You said something that I said and you put it into your, you know, restatement, right? Mm-hmm. You basically restated and reiterated a point that I just made. Now, what if you wanted to invite more people to connect? how would you then, like,
yep,
how would you then invite that?
Then something, an easy question to ask might be, and if this is where you're going, something along the lines of, has anyone else felt like Julie has felt?
Okay. So when you hear someone express a feeling, express an emotion, share an experience, something like that, I think that sometimes our inclination as teachers is to draw on our own experience and want to be like, I relate.
Yeah, it's very true. Yeah.
It's super great, but your autobiography is so much less important than the autobiography of every other person sitting there. And so your goal is in your mind, how can I help other people now connect to this experience?
Yes.
And so shifting and asking a question of them, you know, is that relatable? Because maybe if you say, has anyone else ever had an experience similar to Julie's, you're poking for something specific versus, does that feel relatable? Which makes it just a little bit open. More genetic, yeah. Right? A little bit more, I said genetic, I meant generic.
Generic, yeah, I know. Good thing we don't have a transcription of this, or that would be way out of context, but yes.
Oopsies. But it's when, and usually you want to be a little bit more specific, but what you're trying to do is not pigeonhole people into thinking that you want a specific type of answer. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Okay, so I'm going to pivot from that. When you are asking questions, and we've talked about this a little bit before in the past too, you want to make sure that you're asking questions that aren't pigeonholing people into a specific answer, right? Okay. Like I was just saying. So if you asked me the question that you asked me earlier about, you know, when was the last time you felt the spirit, or can you describe an experience recently where you felt the spirit, something like that, you're not pigeonholing people into a specific answer. But if you were to say, for example, you know, how do we feel the spirit? People are going to be like, there's a right answer and a wrong answer to this.
Right.
You're so kind of when leading you make, them. Exactly. When you're asking leading questions, people are less apt to feel connected to that versus make it real for you. When we were talking about conversion just recently, we're talking about making sure that whatever we're talking about gets connected to a specific behavior. And so the questions that you ask should reflect that. And then when somebody shares, you know, this is how I apply it, this is how I feel connected, this is an experience I've had where I felt the spirit, don't let it end there. Ask everybody else. Is that relatable? Great. Is that something that you felt too? Do you feel it differently? Do you see it differently? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. And I've seen, and I've done that, and I've seen that used. And as you say it, I'm thinking of other circumstances where I've seen that happen before. I've never thought of it as a skill. Because part of what I do is I do that, but I've never thought of it as something that I do. But now that you point it out, I'm like, oh yeah, of course. Yeah, that's a beautiful thing to do.
Well, and I think that a lot of people don't do it, like don't know that they're doing it and they do it naturally, which is great. That's so wonderful. But I think that part of what we're trying to do is be consciously competent.
Yes, yes.
And we're trying to help bring things that we do into our consciousness so that other people are like, wow, I don't actually really do that very often. Mm-hmm. And it's going to feel a little bit more like, oh, to them. And so as we're talking about this, that was part of what I wanted to point. Hold on one second. So this is the other thing that I wanted to point out. So when you're thinking through how can I feel more connected to that person and how can I help other people within that, you know, classroom to also feel more connected to each other. One of the things that I feel really strongly about is being real with your own experiences and what you're sharing, and then inviting the same from other people. And when people share something that's really authentic, we've talked about before the importance of not just moving past it, not just thanking them in a sincere voice, but actually really empathizing with where they are. And I wanted to give just this little visual because you and I were talking about it last night of what we can do in our classroom figuratively to help hold ourselves accountable for allowing that. So when you think about teaching, you often think about yourself in this role of, you know, I have the information, I'm going to guide the discussion, I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. And I want to kind of flip that on its head just a teensy weensy bit with this skill. I can't remember if we've talked about this before, but I'm hoping to talk about it in a slightly different way.
Okay.
So this is what we would call a Native American talking stick. This is just a little sample of it. And Stephen Covey used to carry one of these around when we would travel, and it was given to him from Native American Indian chiefs. And on the back of it, it actually said bald eagle on his, because he was bald. And that was the nickname that they gave him. And they would use this when they would have tribal councils. And the idea was that they would pass it around the circle. And that the person who was holding the talking stick was the person that had the floor, right? Mm-hmm. They were allowed to make their point, and everybody else's job was then to help that person feel understood. And that person could hold on to the talking stick as long as they wanted. They were under no obligation to give it up, except when they felt understood. Meaning that if they didn't, they didn't have to just be like, oh, forget it, and pass it on. I mean, how often do we figuratively do that, right? Mm-hmm. In our relationships, even just forget it, this isn't worth it. And we just pass the talking stick on. They would hold people accountable for understanding their perspective before they would pass it on. And I think that what we as teachers are doing is less holding of the talking stick and more passing of the talking stick. Mm. So in our class, if we think of our job being to actually facilitate the passing of the talking stick, how would we interact differently?
We might make sure I'm using the right words here, but make sure that the person who made a comment felt understood.
Okay.
Before we move on to the next topic.
Right. So what are you going to do differently though, if you're trying to make sure they feel understood? Remember, you're probably not holding this physical object.
Right.
But you in your mind are holding yourself accountable for doing that. So what if they make a comment that's a little bit confusing to you? Are you just going to like, okay, move the talking stick along?
Sometimes, yes. But not with this new way of doing this.
Not with this way. So what would you do instead? What would you do instead?
Someone makes a confusing comment. I would ask them to maybe restate what they had said or their question or whatever it was in different words, because I didn't understand and blame it on myself that I am sorry, I didn't quite get that. Or, you know, I wouldn't say it quite like that, but ask them to restate.
Okay, so are you going to make them feel stupid? Is that going to feel uncomfortable maybe?
It can be depending on the way it's done, but hopefully I'm doing it in a way that it's not.
Okay. So here's some examples, right? Yeah, right? So let's talk about an example though. If somebody says something and you're a little bit confused by it, mm-hmm. Is there anything wrong with trying to restate it, even if you get it wrong?
No. I mean, could you say something, for example, in kind of how you do a lot of times, and I love this saying, okay, what I heard you say is da 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 da, and just get it wrong and know you're getting it wrong to hopefully have them maybe expand it and clear it up a bit.
Yeah, no harm, no foul. So the reason that I'm bringing this up is a specific scenario is in my head. So I'll kind of describe the scenario really quickly. There is this guy that was in my institute class that I would teach who is freaking brilliant, thinks very differently than I do. He's an attorney and he looks at the world so differently than me. And it is mind-blowing to me. But oftentimes he will make a comment and I will feel dumb.
Oh.
And I'm sitting there going, crap. I've decided that I don't care how dumb I look. I really, like, he is so smart. I really wanted to understand his perspective. So I, in essence, was handing him the talking stick and then saying, I'm going to hang out in discomfort land and really genuinely try to see it from your perspective. And part of what I'm figuring is that somebody else in that space might be having a little bit of a difficult time understanding it as well. Sure. If I am.
Yeah.
And so I would say, okay, this is what I heard you say. And he would say, okay, not exactly. And he'd try and explain it a little bit different. And I'd be like, okay, the difference in that to me was da, 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 and kind of, I mean, really break it down. And almost always I would be like, oh, okay, I finally get it. And then I would restate it in my own words. And then somebody else almost always would be like, oh, that makes so much more sense. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And everybody, because I'm struggling, everybody is with me trying to help me see what this guy is saying. And so some people might chime in and say, I think he's saying more this. And I'm like, oh, okay. And we're wrestling to understand each other publicly.
Right.
And I think it is super, super valuable to everybody else in that space, because the minute they see you sitting in discomfort, they want to help relieve your discomfort. So they become involved and engaged in trying to help relieve your discomfort. And so the point that I would make, sure, is that never pass up an opportunity to try and see something from somebody else's perspective that confuses you, because it could be an amazing opportunity to involve the rest of the classroom in trying to wrestle with something. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I love that point. It's specifically the point where if you don't understand it and you restate it back, they are vested in trying to help you understand, right? And then others are as well, and it brings everyone in. Never quite looked at it from that perspective, that they have a stake in trying to help you understand that as well. And they do. I mean, right, in a very loving way, it's, oh no, let me explain it a little bit better. And you're not making them feel stupid. You're not,
right?
You're not like, right, okay, that dude, that was so over everyone's head. What are you saying?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Right.
Yeah.
Dig in, wrestle with it. So then here's another one. What if I have handed the talking stick to someone, right? And they've said something. Could you then say, does anybody have any questions for Bob about what he just said? Like, you've restated it. Mm-hmm. You've talked about it, you said, wow, thanks, Bob. Does anybody have any questions for Bob? Like, that was so interesting to me. What did it make you think of? What questions popped into your mind? And then Bob's going, whoa.
You know, so at the very beginning, you talked about what helps create connections. One of the things that first popped into my mind was to stop. No. I'm not going to say that. That's incorrect. To make it so that instead of you always asking the questions, but they're asking questions of each other.
Yes.
Right?
That's exactly it.
And that's what you did just now, is by saying, does anyone have any questions for his comment, his experience, his whatever? You're getting them to ask each other questions, and they form more of a connection in that way. I like that a lot.
Okay, so when Bob is holding the talking stick, it is not just your job to help Bob feel understood. It's everybody else's job, right? Mm-hmm. So why couldn't you even say, does anybody else have a question for Bob to, you know, clarify what he said? Do you want to build on it? Or, hey, so, you know, can somebody tell us what Bob just said?
Oh, have them restate.
Have them restate it.
That's good.
If your goal, this is kind of what I'm trying to come to, and this is kind of my final point. Your goal is to stop grabbing the talking stick. So if that's the case, your goal is to get people to pass the talking stick from one person to the next. And every time you make a point, you're grabbing the talking stick. And our tendency is talking stick and now it's mine. Talking stick and now it's mine. So if you really want to facilitate a connecting discussion, your goal should be not to take the talking stick back in between every comment. Instead, create an opportunity for them to pass the talking stick to another member of the class. Mm-hmm. And you do that by inviting members of the class to ask a question, by inviting members of the class to restate what they think the person said, by inviting members of the class to build on what that person said, yes, and by asking questions of the class instead of being like, Yes, I agree. Let me take the talking stick back. I want to make my point again. No, invite somebody else to make their point. And so the reframe here is that if you are leading a discussion and no involvement, no commitment, you really want people involved in this discussion, stop grabbing the talking stick. Instead, try to help the talking stick get passed from person to person in your class.
That's great. Visually, what I'm seeing when you say that is the traditional way of doing it is more of a hub and spoke type thing. I give it to one, I bring it back. I give it to another, I bring it back. But it always comes back to me, and I'm always the disseminator of things, right? And this one is more of a web. You're going from one, you're crossing over again, going back and forth, and you create this huge web of connections rather than everything is back to me.
Exactly. So different. And it requires a different type of planning too.
Yeah.
To be able to do something like that. So an interesting, you know, if you think about like in a corporate setting, when you're offering a training, that it doesn't work the same way. We are not in a corporate setting.
Right.
We are not the authority on anything. We have not been hired to come in and share our knowledge and train people in a specific skill. Instead, we are literally the servant of our Heavenly Father, trying to help everyone, including ourselves, deepen our conversion to the Savior Jesus Christ. And that web is going to provide two things: more mind expanding insight, because we learn from so many different perspectives. And the second thing, connections to each other. And we cannot live the gospel of Jesus Christ in isolation. And I think that part of the hardest part about it, and one of the reasons that we're asked to live it in groups, in families, in units, is because it's challenging, because it's hard. But that naturally can start to develop in us the characteristics of interdependence that we will be asked to live. Like, it is an interdependent existence when we are living in the presence of our Heavenly Father. We are not going to live an independent existence at all. And so this is kind of like a microcosm where we get to practice that in a way. Was that a little too like, woo?
No, not at all. No. Because you're making me think of next time I teach a class, how I want to specifically focus on not taking the talking stick always, because it's the easy thing to do, right?
Totally. I do it. I love doing it. Yes. I love the sound of my own voice.
Yes. Because beautiful as our voices may be. Right. Not I mean, fun. Really, it is a lot easier, because what we're doing is we're taking control. We have a place we want to go, and we know where to go. More difficult is to be able to help each other connect and restate, or what am I thinking? What's the other one? Restate or
reflect feeling, or yeah.
Yeah. Make sure they understand or feel understood, right? It's a lot more difficult to do that, but it's easier to have the next point I want to make. Mm-hmm. And so I take it back. And so I'm going to make the next point.
Right. Remember that when you are rephrasing what someone has said and not adding your own perspective, you are staying in empathy. You only take the talking stick back when you make a new point. So if you're like, you're still the facilitator, so you still have to keep the conversation moving, but you move it forward, not with the hub and spoke idea, but through creating the web. So you're focused more on asking questions that will get them to pass the talking stick to somebody else versus, you know, restating it and then adding to it and building upon it and all that, which is the traditional way that we go about it.
Right. Boy, I'm going to seriously use this. Again, I think part of what I do is this, but I've never recognized it as that before.
Right.
And I am so glad you pointed this out, because now that I recognize it, I'm going to focus specifically on making sure I'm not always taking the talking stick back and helping them connect with each other.
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah, it's hard for me. Like, it's something that I really try to do, but to be that intentional about not taking it back is a bit of a shift for me too. Right. So we'll all kind of be experimenting with this and practicing it.
Okay. All right. So go practice this, everyone, and then come back and tell us how it went. Tell us, was it difficult to do? Did you find it awkward, or did you get used to it? Or did you suddenly realize, oh, I do this all the time. I hadn't quite thought of that before, but I do it in this way. And maybe you can give us ideas of how you've done it and we can learn from you. Right. We're making the connection and we can have, passing the talking stick.
We can create a web here.
Oh my goodness. Look at that.
Good job.
Oh, wow. I'm doing it right now. I think.
You're amazing.
We'll see. All right. So go do that. And seriously, come back and make a comment. And we would love to use that and maybe even start the next episode or another episode soon of, remember when we talked about this? Well, someone wrote in and said, this is how they did it. And we're always trying to build these skills. Yes.
We would love it.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone. Take care. We'll see you next time.